Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Northwest Deaf Arts Festival on Saturday, June 16th at Mississippi Studios in Portland. The Northwest Deaf Arts Festival consists of a family-friendly matinee show as well as an adult-only 21 and over evening show. Performers include hip-hop artist Sean Forbes, dancer Antoine Hunter, poet Raymond Luzak, and more. Again, that's the Northwest Deaf Arts Festival on Saturday, June 16th at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. Mississippi Studios is located at 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland, where it is 10 a.m. This is Portland's community radio, and many of our friends and neighbors in our community step up to support community radio in the way that makes sense to them. And I am privileged, honored, as well as contractually obligated to inform you that support for KBOO programming comes from Dark Side Cinema, open every night, featuring independent foreign art and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com. And now it is time for Valley Views.
Hi, I'm Dale Holliday, coming to you from Corvallis, Oregon, in the bountiful Willamette Valley. Welcome to my show, Valley Views, a forum for sharing relevant topics relating to people and issues in the Willamette region. Hi, folks. Thanks for joining me for part two of my conversation with John Widmore. He is a registered dietitian and nutritionist who also works here at our local hospital in Corvallis. And he's a personal trainer at our local gym in Corvallis here where I met him. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, thank you for having me, Dale.
Okay, I'd like to set the stage for the audience here to tell them how I met you. I met Jonathan when I attended his nutrition seminar at the local gym, and I had attended to get more information about protein sources because I'm a vegetarian and I weightlift seriously, have for many years, and I wasn't overly concerned, but I always like to get new knowledge and I wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing, especially about the protein intake. And to my delight, John had lots of information for me as a vegetarian and also for my husband who's a vegan. And he had great information for everyone who attended that seminar, no matter what their dietary preferences were and their fitness levels. So today, I'd like to talk with John a little bit more about nutrition, but it's such a large body of knowledge. I'd like to actually focus on some of the tools that people can utilize to get fit and stay fit. So Jonathan, now that I've kind of set the stage, I know you work with people on an individual basis, you work with them in groups, and in the previous show, you mentioned how sometimes people, they know that carrot is better for them than the cookie, but
yeah.
Maybe they don't always eat the carrot. And so do you want to talk a little bit about some of the barriers people might have to, becoming fit or eating properly?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I would say there's a few main barriers that I come up against.
Mm-hmm.
The first is probably actually the psychological barrier.
Hmm.
And even more so, maybe almost like an emotional barrier.
Okay.
When I ask people, why do you eat? I say, why do you eat? And they tell me, they say, well, I'm hungry. I say, good. Why else?
Uh-huh.
Say, well, it tastes good. Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, why else? And I can get, after a few minutes, I can get a list of about 5,000 reasons why we eat.
Okay.
We eat because we're happy, we eat because we're sad, we eat to celebrate, we eat to go on a date, and yada, yada, yada.
Mm.
And it really all falls down into two categories. We eat for health, or we eat for pleasure. And neither of these are good or bad, or just two basic categories. We eat because food, we're intentionally trying to improve our health. So you might say, yeah, you know, today I will choose the salad instead of the burger.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes we eat for pleasure, and that might be we eat because it tastes good, or because maybe we're just sad and lonely and we're on the couch and we want some pretzels or popcorn.
Interesting. Well, you know, a couple of things went to my mind. Can you eat? I mean, I think I eat for pleasure and for health. Is that possible?
And that's the sweet spot. So when you learn to enjoy good, nutritious food, and it becomes pleasurable, then you're never feeling like you're on a, quote, diet.
Yeah, yeah, because I've never really dieted.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And I think certainly our brains and our tongues, our palates, they're hardwired to receive certain foods like salt and fat and some of those nutrients that maybe are a little more sparse in nature, you know, those sugars. When we taste those, we are actually creating a response in our body that is similar to an addiction to a drug, right? So when you do cocaine or smoke a cigarette or drink alcohol, you get this release of dopamine, this feel-good hormone. And when you eat food, it does the same thing.
Yes.
And so a lot of times our bodies get addicted to some of these, you know, processed foods that are very palatable.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, the other thing I thought would, because of your previous statement, I thought, you said people eat because they're hungry. I've noticed, though, if I pick up a little weight, I kind of know that I'm heading that way because I realize I don't remember the last time I was hungry. You know, and so if I have feel, you know, like the stomach is growling a little bit, or I'm feeling like, oh, I'm really hungry. If I'm feeling that every once in a while, then I'm keeping a maintaining my weight. And so I wonder if people sometimes tend to eat, maybe they think they're hungry, but they're not really hungry.
You know, so one of the neatest things I ever heard was I was listening to a doctor, and he said, if a carrot doesn't taste good or doesn't sound appetizing, you're not really hungry.
Interesting. Well, if you like carrots.
And so what do you mean? And, you know, it's true because something may be bland, like a carrot, compared to a bag of Doritos. It's not going to sound very appetizing. But let me tell you, if you go long enough without food, a carrot will sound tasty.
It'll be pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. So, you know, something that we're not used to in America is feeling uncomfortable. You know, oh, you're sad, here's a pill. You know, you feel this, here's another pill.
Yes, just medicate.
Yeah. And so I think we're not as humans. We don't like to feel hungry. And surprisingly, it's actually healthy to feel a little bit of hunger throughout the day.
There you go.
And so until we had things like canned foods and, you know, refrigerators, people didn't have this ready access to food 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people, one of the best things you could ever do, when it's light out, eat. When it's dark out, don't eat.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, when your ancestors were back hunter-gatherers, you know, it's dark out, they're sleeping, it's light out, they go and forage for food.
Yeah.
But nowadays, people are, you know, eating well into the night, and they're eating all day, every day. And so you're right. You know, when you have these periods of time where you're hungry, that's actually where you're releasing some of these, what's called catabolic hormones. There's these hormones that are causing you to break down stored fat. And in those periods of hunger, you're improving your insulin sensitivity, your fasting blood sugar goes down, your blood pressure goes down, and your body can actually lose weight.
Yeah.
And so it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but it's okay to be a little bit hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it when I'm a little hungry.
And do you notice a difference for you between almost head hunger and true, like, belly hunger? Like,
Oh, yeah. The belly hunger, I mean, it is a physical feeling. You can even, like, the stomach growling, and it even feels kind of like there's a belt tightening around your stomach a little bit or something. It just kind of has that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Versus when you walk by a bakery or, you know, you see some ad on TV and your head says, oh, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I like that light and dark thing. I try to not eat after 7 at night. I can't always stick to that, but, you know, that's a striving. But I remember reading an article once some years ago in, I don't know if it was National Geographic or somewhere where they were talking, you know, what you were talking about in the past, you know, there weren't refrigerators, and even go back far enough, there weren't canned foods, and so you didn't have all this food at the ready. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how, this article was talking about how there would every once in a while be a feast, like there'd be the harvest and there'd be a feast, and that was, you know, people would maybe overeat for that time, you know, as what they were used to, but how fast forward to where we are today, and it's like we're feasting every day.
Yeah, every meal we're getting stuffed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's some food for thought, some historic food for thought. Well, when you are working with people, you know, and they might have some barriers or just have some problems trying to, some challenges trying to eat well, how, I mean, I know it's, you know, very detailed, and we could talk about this for hours and weeks, but...
And I would.
And you would, okay. maybe I'll have to bring you back for a part three sometimes. But how can people overcome some of these barriers? I mean, what are some of the things, tools that you can...
Yeah. So practically, I make people write down what they want to accomplish. And so if you can say, here's where my health is now, maybe my weight or my blood sugar, whatever that is, here's where I'm now, and then actually write down, what do I want to accomplish? And then I say, okay, we've got point A, we're trying to get to point B. Now you tell me, what is it going to take to get to A to B?
Okay.
And so the analogy I give them a lot of times is, let's say you're at a mall, and you have that sign that says you are here, and then you're trying to find your favorite store, and you know you've got to take all these twists and turns. I tell me, what are the life changes you're going to need to make to get to your goal?
Good.
And then I it's this whole process. If any of your listeners are interested, it's called motivational interviewing.
Okay.
Go out and buy a book on motivational interviewing. It's all about trying to help patients and clients find in themselves what it's going to take to reach their own goals. So rather than me trying to force them to do what I want to do, they can self-identify. And when they self-identify, they know, they come to me and they know, hey, I've been, you know, drinking 10 sodas a day, or I've been eating ice cream every night.
Uh-huh.
And I say, what is it going to help? What's it going to take to get you from A to B? And they say, you know, I got to stop eating so much junk food. I got to stop eating ice cream every night.
Yes.
I go, good, let's go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first thing is I make people write their goals and tell me what it's going to take.
That's great. Get them vested. Yeah.
Yep. Now the second thing I do is I would say 999 out of 1,000 people I've ever worked with, this is the biggest problem, is nobody has a plan. They wake up in the morning, they don't know what they're going to eat. They get to lunch, they don't have something packed. They get home for dinner and there's nothing ready to go.
Oh, man.
And so we just eat whatever's quick and convenient.
Yes.
So I force pretty much every patient or client I have, we write out a meal plan for the week.
Good
and we can
job.
Do it together. I make some people do it as homework, and I say, I want you to write down, what are you going to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe even what is your snack?
Mm-hmm.
And you plan that throughout for 1 week, and then we're going to write a grocery list to go with that.
Nice.
And if you have a plan, people are more successful. There's a quote that says, a failure to plan is a plan to fail.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm very big on planning, and I help them. I give them, you know, recipes and menu ideas to help them plan, but they have to actually make that plan.
Yes.
Now here's the catch. Remember earlier we talked about you eat for pleasure or you eat for health?
Yes.
I have this rule, and I tell people it's a principle, 80-20 principle.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the time you're choosing healthy foods, healthy meals. 20% of the time you eat for pleasure.
Mm.
So if you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, that's 21 meals a week.
Right.
And I want you about 17 or 18 meals a week to choose healthy foods.
Nice.
That's your oatmeals for breakfast, your stir-fried dinners, your salads for lunch, your healthy wraps. And then, you know, 3 times a week, I want you to actually plan pleasurable eating experiences where you eat and you're not looking at calories or fat or sugar. You just eat to what makes you happy. So my wife and I, every Friday night for the past 5 years, we have Friday night date night.
There you go.
We have pizza. And I don't feel bad, I don't count calories, and it allows me to have that balance, and I think that emotional health is really important. But if somebody can identify their goals, make a plan, and then actually plan for that health pleasure balance, they can kind of keep their sanity and be more successful long term.
Nice. And I can tell you, folks, Jonathan's wife, Carly, is strong and fit. She's also at our gym as a trainer, and she's doing a million other wonderful things. And I was hoping to have her today, but she's just so busy she couldn't be here. Maybe another time. But yes, the woman is fit. And I love that, too, that you as a couple maintain that and work out together. I mean, I think that's a very helpful thing as well.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's I always tell my friends, this is totally off topic, but find somebody who's passionate about something that you are, because on a Saturday, what are you going to want to do together? If you like reading books, you can go to the library together.
Mm-hmm.
If you like, riding bikes, you can ride bikes together. And so I just really lucked out. My wife and I like to do, go on adventures and do stuff like that together. So yeah, it's been a big blessing.
Great. Yes. So, well, I really, I feel like I could sit here and talk for hours about this, and I really would like to bring you back at some point, and
yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
Carly can join as well. So, people, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Jonathan has given you some strategies for getting on track with your fitness and your exercise and your diet. Some of these could be implemented and would go far. So thanks again, Jonathan, for being here.
Thank you.
You have a good day. You've been listening to Valley Views. I'm your host, Dale Holliday, and I'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, ideas for future topics, or other matters you would like explored. Email me at valleyviews@kbu.org. That's valleyvius@kbu.org. Special thanks to Chad Howard from Corvallis Access Media for his technical assistance and support.